Because we definitely not don't know whom we are with. Okay. We've got one item on the agenda, which is to deal with the program for the whole year. There's a suggested program that we have. The first two will be January to March. Everything is subject to changes and additions. Those are just suggestions that are in there. Even the wording might not be in the correct format. So I'll just open it up. Starting on the 1st of March. Going forward. Or rather, maybe we can start on the 23rd. Because we haven't dealt with that as yet. You are recognized, Honorable Mene.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to make one preliminary point which is related to the program, and that is it's now clear to me that this committee cannot continue to meet on Thursday mornings. It is, for some reason, not possible for the chairs and members to be here at 8 o'clock, and I think it's unfair that we keep members waiting for between 30 and 45 minutes. But what is the you can imagine it will be very embarrassing if we have a senior delegation from the Defence Force, such as the Minister, the Secretary of Defence, the Chief of the Defence Force, and the Service Chiefs here, and they need to wait for us for 30 or 45 minutes. So I think that as a committee, we need to seriously consider changing this committee's slot to a different slot. A, because members are not able to make it here at 8 o'clock, and B, because there's really enough time, I think, to have a proper meeting before caucuses begin on Thursday. So I think that's something we should consider, this committee should consider. The second point, Chair, is about the program itself. I think as a committee we need to have a discussion about what it is we want to achieve as a committee, and then we need to set up a program accordingly. To simply receive a draft program with no discussion and no inputs, I think is no way to go about setting up a program.
Thank you very much. Let's start with the first one about the slot that we have. Are you still on that on the slot?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I'm in agreement with that. In view of the fact that the buses and every other thing arrives late in Parliament, it's really, Chair, it's not doing justice to this committee and the issues that we need to deal with in this committee. So I would also go for going for another slot. Thank you.
Thank you. Still on this? Okay.
Yeah, honorable members, I wish to concur as well that we're facing a problem. What we have done so far is, this is not the only committee that is suffering, by the way. All committees, the three other committees that meet on Thursday at 8 o'clock, they face the very same problem that we do. Hence, we made presentations to the Office of the Chief Whip that there should be a bus that commences at 6:30 from the park. Now, we are not sure if public welfare was the message and whether we will be able to win. But it is true that as a result of, you know, this problem, a number of committees are suffering. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we can remember very well, our slot was on a Friday, and I personally went to the chair of chairs and requested another slot because the Friday slot didn't work out. Nobody used to come to the meeting. And in discussions with him, the only slot that we could have was this one, meaning that this is the better if from 8 to quarter to 10. I'm not sure what would be the way forward here, because I sat with him in his office and we tried to look for another slot. Maybe if we change it to 8:30, then it doesn't help us in any way. We're just eating into our own time. The problem is obvious. We can all see it, but seemingly we don't have an alternative from the chair of chairs side. Because Friday is a working day, definitely. But even if it's a working day, it doesn't work out for us. That's why maybe before the committee was not workable. So I'm not very sure. I'm open to suggestions. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I think in this case, Thursday, it's all right. But the only snag is about the time. And it's not a matter of buses. We cannot give excuses about buses. Personally, today, I never used a bus. I used my own car. And I left at 7 o'clock. But I arrived here at 8 o'clock. I think that the problem of traffic congestion, that is the problem. So I don't know whether maybe we may try just to come a little bit earlier or shift to 8:30. Then I think maybe everybody may be accommodated. Thank you.
Honorable Mania.
Thank you. Chair, Thursday does not work, and let me tell my honorable colleague why. It does not work because not only are members for some reason, and I accept it has to do with transport from the park, not able to be here at 8. This is a very important committee. We are, during the course of the year, going to be holding major hearings, and those hearings cannot be completed in 2 hours. And members cannot miss caucuses. My question to you is, why can we not, given the fact that the Portfolio Committee on Defence meets on a Wednesday, am I correct, Chair? Why can the Joint Standing Committee on Defence not meet on a Tuesday? Does that clash with Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, perhaps? Because, of course, Friday, Chair, we have the Ad Hoc Committee on the General Intelligence Laws Amendment Bill, so that also doesn't work. But my question is, why could the Joint Standing Committee on Defence not meet on a Tuesday? I would just be interested in that.
It's just that I can't remember when we discussed with the chair of chairs. But what he said was about can't remember, but seemingly he said something about the venues and some other. But he it's just that it's a long time ago. He definitely explained. But what I can do, I can try once more. Can try once more, because I remember very well. I talked to him about that.
Can I just honorable members, we know that all joints, they meet on Friday. Women and children with disability and so on, joint it's Friday. Anything that is joint is Friday, except intelligence, which is Wednesday, because they've got their own venue. Intelligence does not share a venue with any other committee. They've got a standing venue, which is guarded 24 hours. So the rest of the other joints, it's Friday. So we said Friday is not working for us, and so on. So we've been given this law. Now it means, like Manir is making this type of inquiry, it means we have to go and try and fight for an alternative slot. But the problem is we fall under D. It's A, B, C, and D cluster. So the whole of the D cluster is Friday. They are giving us the whole of Friday from 8 o'clock in the morning right up to 5 o'clock. They say that slot is ours. But we don't want that slot for obvious reasons.
There we are. Okay. Honorable Mani.
Chair, on a lighter note, I wonder if perhaps the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence would consider sharing their venue at Spook House.
Okay. Let me just say, I'll just have to go and what are the suggestions that I can carry to
Tuesday?
Okay, let me go. I'll go and try again and report in the next meeting. And then the second point by Mr. Honorable Mane. If I was to explain what is in here, it's not actual. As you can see, it's written subject to change. It means these are, by the way, English is my second language or my third language. These are sort of concepts of areas that needs to be covered. It's not actually a program as such. It only indicates areas that we need to cover. That's why it is subject to change. You can add, subtract, and so on. By that, I'm saying it only says we need to deal with letters from the president, we need to deal with the Air Force, we need to deal with, but all other nitty-gritties is for us to slot in. And if there are any other suggestions, we need to come up with. It's not a program as such. No one has got a right to draft a program for the committee. We need, but at least it's easier if we come up with concepts that are along our mandate and present them. That is what the whole thing is all about. Honorable Daniel.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. You said we must start on the 23rd. I think we need discussion on defense. What on defense? I think we need to unpack that, which is one. Oh, reviews, letters from the president, I think we need that. Which is one. First of March, of course, the NCCC, I think that also. the annual report. What I don't understand, on the 15th of March, it says the NCACC. Is that the annual report? And then there's a strategic, joint strategic working workshop. Chair, I think up until March, I am not sure how our quotas work here in Parliament, which is one, because I would suggest that in every quarter we must be having an oversight visit for us to be able to balance whatever we're being told we are sitting in these benches and actually seeing what is out there, what we're being told, and actually seeing that whatever it is we're being told is actually happening. Now I'm talking in terms of oversight, and I haven't seen anything. I've seen that we're saying to play an effective play of oversight and monitoring, but then we need to actually have that plan for oversight. Thank you.
Okay. Let's just find out. Don't we have a specific period that Parliament says this is for oversight? I'm not very sure. Can we find out from whoever? I'm not very sure whether it doesn't work that way. We'll just let's find out from the secretary. Do we have a specific period where it's oversight, or can we just decide to go on oversight at maybe we say once a quarter we go on oversight? What are the parliamentary rules?
Thank you. There is a specific time for oversight, especially with NA, and it is different from the one from the NCOP. With the NCOP, each first week in each term, they are given a week for oversight. And for the committee to do its oversight during the session, it will depend on the program of the parliament. The committee can take a decision to do an oversight on any day, but the approval will be dealt with at the House Chair's office, taking into consideration the motivation made by that committee.
There we are. Honorable Fika.
I go further on that issue also. There's a program, national program, that is given for all the committees. And there they cite that the period of oversight committees. It means it's not in your program now. Those things. There are dates where they put the oversight period.
Yeah, there we are. But I remember us discussing one of the good days that as the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, most of what we must do is oversight, more than any other thing. We should be going all out and checking, because we have got the Portfolio Committee on Defense anyway. Right now we should be actually on the road all the time. Well, I'm not very sure. It's not for us to sit in here. Everything is negotiated around here. Maybe we need to start saying something about that and maybe sending some proposals. At least if we say once a quarter, as Honorable Daniels is saying, can we say that we send a proposal? I think it's noted. Oh, Honorable, I forgot. Honorable Stan, followed by the Honorable.
Chairperson, I think the first thing that we should do is to look at what we have. Indeed, there is an oversight period. And then Honorable Fika here has given us direction. Let's look at that oversight period and slot or identify the sites that we want to oversight and slot them there. And thereafter, indeed, it's true that there is, for instance, look, maybe you want to go to Simonstown. It's something that you can do within a day. There is also that some sort of space that you can ask for permission and do that.
Honorable Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I agree with you about the issue of oversight, because there are a number of areas, most in particular, that we have to oversee within defense. Now, when you look at the issues that have been raised, for instance, in the past, we raised issues of visits to a number of bases, and some of these bases we have actually spoken about them in the past. So the idea of visiting the bases obviously hinges on a number of issues, like the problems with the flights, the aircraft which are being used by the deputy president, by the president. Honorable Manir, I think, has touched on that aspect and is quite eager to get answers also as to what the problems are. And the committee has also discussed that issue with respect to the threat on the presidency and the deputy presidency by flights that are not reliable. Now, for that reason, we have targeted quite a number of bases, most in particular in the Air Force. Now, some of these bases, Babcock Central Flying School, this is one other base that the Air Force uses. And
can I just say let's not discuss the item itself. Let's talk about
the principle
for now and then, because we are still going to deal with those things.
Thank you. So, Chairperson, in principle, we are going to be visiting those bases, a number of bases, and so on. And then, secondly, part of the oversight work that we are supposed to be doing is to go to... We have targeted in the past meetings the U.S. and Vietnam for visits. And probably in July, that part of oversight hinges on a number of factors. The first one is, in principle, the exit mechanism. Both the U.S. and the Vietnamese, they've got very good models.
I think you're still doing the same thing.
Oh, okay.
You're still getting into... in fact, what we should be discussing now is there was a suggestion there that we have an oversight maybe once per quarter, which I said maybe let's write to to the powers that be and explain that. Because as you were saying, I was expecting you to say that one quarter we check the Air Force, the other quarter the Army. Another one may be the Navy. That is what Honorable Daniels is suggesting. And that is what I'm saying we would write to the powers that be. I don't know whether it's the committee section or is the chair of chairs. So all in all, do we agree on that? Who came first, Kamara? Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as the indication has been, or the forward has been given by Honorable Fischler, that there is a slot on the program for the oversight, can we make use of this constituency period to start at least? And because we cannot concentrate on only, because there are a number of provinces. If I can tell you that, from my province, Northern Cape, I think the last visit when I engaged with some of the soldiers, and that was in 2004, during the time of Thandi Modise, Honorable Premier of Thandi Modise, which is really a serious thing. So I would propose that let us make use of this 20th of March to the 5th, when to start with this oversight, because most of us now, we are free. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Fischler, Honorable Mutimere,
yeah.
And Honorable Manzini.
Chair, firstly, I think we have to understand that the purpose of oversight. The purpose of oversight is to improve our departments. It means we have to identify challenges that exist in our departments. What are the challenges? Then when we oversight, we are not going on a tour, just a tourist. But we go there to see what are the problems. Now, there are quite a number of problems that time and again we have identified, and it means we have to identify which areas that have challenges. Then we have to go to there so that we improve the problems that are existing there.
Honorable Mutimere?
No, I just got lost for a while. But I want to emphasize again, look, we must use all the available avenues. That was what I'm saying. Identify the oversight period, make use of it, and then any other thing that follows is fine.
Honorable Manzini.
Thank you, Chair. I do concur that, no, in fact, it is our duty to do oversight. But in the meantime, when the Honorable said that we have to use this constituency period, I think it's stepping on other people's shoes, because during constituency period, we are having constituencies. For example, I, for one, I'm having four constituencies where I have to round off and make sure that no things are happening in those constituencies. So I'm not against the issue of going out doing oversight, but the period, I think it's not conducive. Thank you.
Thank you. I should think that will be an a steep hill to convince the powers that be to use the constituency period. If they can't even give you a Monday, we can try it, but I know it's not going to work out. Honorable Mani.
Chair, I just simply wanted to make the point that I completely support your sentiment, and I think this is a sentiment of the committee as a whole, that we do need to get out of the parliamentary barracks and into the defense force or military barracks, and we need to do it soon. As to the when and the how, I mean, that is a separate discussion, but I completely support your sentiment.
Okay, I'm closing the... Okay.
Lastly, Chair, on this issue of going out to oversight, I would also like us to spread ourselves to everywhere where defense is throughout the country, and when we do oversight, we need to spread out as much as possible. Thank you.
I think we don't need to discuss that. That is acceptable. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson, I agree with the sentiments as well, and only wish to sensitize the committee that no committee leaves the precinct of Parliament without having adopted a particular program. Now, what the officials do is to check whether any other travel is within the ambit of a program that has been adopted and that has been signed. So you don't apply for a trip outside the program of the committee. So for us to be able to do the oversight work that we need to do internally, for instance, in the number of bases across the country, we have to be able to adopt a program. And also to be able to travel and gather information overseas, for instance, on matters of military veterans. That has to be embraced within a program. This gives the idea to the presiding officers to plan and to be able to release us as and when they think it is feasible, because we are going to provide them with specific dates on which we are going to leave. Their response to us is going to be, no, don't take that slot, take this slot, because we are going to amend the program in order to accommodate three line whips and so on and so on. So without a program in front of the presiding officers, it becomes thumbsuck when you apply for a particular trip to be sanctioned. So hence, everything has to be within the ambit of a program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm rounding all of this thing up. On the question of the time slot, we said we will have to, the chairs will have to go and negotiate for Tuesday. On the question of oversight on the program that we have, we don't disagree that we put a slot every quarter for oversight. All we need to decide now, do we do it according to the sectors within the defense? Are we saying this quarter will be for, do we agree in principle? Or one quarter for the Air Force, another for the Medico, another for the Army, and another for the Navy. If we agree in principle, then let it be minuted, and that will be the actual basis and the times will be organized. And then we put that into a program. This program that we are doing, if it's rejected, as the co-chair was saying, if it's rejected, it will be rejected whilst it's on the program. I think that is what we agreed on in principle, in terms of that. So can we get to the additions and subtractions in the program itself? How must we approach it? Do we need somebody to take us through, or do we just go haphazardly on it because you peruse all of it? Any suggestions, January to March? Honorable Mani, Honorable Daniel, you seem not to have. You are to follow. Is that the point of order?
No, Chair, I was just checking what are we, January to March, what are we supposed to be doing?
That is the quota that we have here. Additions, subtractions, and so on. You're on the floor, Honorable Mani.
Thank you, Chair. In respect of January to March, my understanding, if I read the program correctly, is there are essentially, we have two slots to spend, the 8th of March and the 15th of March. I would argue that the National Conventional Arms Control Committee slot on the 15th of March, I think we should retain that because, of course, oversight of the National Conventional Arms Control Committee is not only important, but there are, I think, three quarterly reports that we have not reviewed. So I think we should keep that slot. The question then is, how do we spend next week, which is the 8th of the March slot? My suggestion is that we schedule a hearing with the Chief of the South African Air Force, and we deal with the whole question of the South African Air Force's Squadron 21, which is the VIP squadron. That would be my suggestion.
Honorable Daniels.
All right. Just to complete my motivation, I mean, I have discussed the necessity of having a hearing on the Air Force's VIP squadron. I don't want to belabor that discussion. Members are aware of the problems. But I'm not sure if members are aware of the latest incident, which included a pilot of the South African Air Force allegedly borrowing a petrol card from the VIP squadron, borrowing an aircraft and flying to Botswana to visit his friend. Now, if that is true, I think it only speaks to the urgency and the need for a hearing. We presumably cannot have Air Force pilots borrowing Air Force aircraft and flying to foreign countries to visit their friends.
Honorable Daniel.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, before we can get to the squadron or whatever, the SAF is still owing us a presentation. I would like that we approach the presentation and the oversight and the hearings or whatever with the SAF holistically. Because they were here, we send them back to say we want everything. Then it becomes important, the matter of time in this committee, because we need to have enough time to deal with the SAF holistically. So that, because today we will deal with the squadron, tomorrow we have to call the SAF to deal with something else. We need to deal with the SAF holistically. I am not saying the issue of the squadron and the flight and everything is not important. All I'm saying is that we need everything.
Thank you. Thank you. So would that mean that from the suggestion of Honorable Mani, because we have got discussions on the annual report of the committee, are you saying we must move that to somewhere else?
That is what I'm suggesting, Chair. I don't think that we can spend a valuable committee slot on simply discussing an annual report. We have to do our work, and that is to provide oversight of the Defence Force. And I think that we should start with the Air Force, and if we need to deal with it holistically, as the Honourable Daniel has suggested, given the fact that there's outstanding information that has not been provided, I would support such a hearing, but then we're going to have to allocate almost a whole day to the hearing.
Okay, any other suggestions? Okay, Honourable Daniel.
Chair, I'm not answering on whether what is the committee say about the suggestion, but
it's that we move, we call South African Air Force on the 8th of March. Are we saying that? But not for what Honorable Mania is saying, for them to give us a report, a full report. Maybe those questions will come by the way. Is that agreed? Honorable Mania, surely you can't disagree. You are the one that suggested.
No, Chair, I'm not disagreeing. I'm in fact agreeing. I'm just echoing the Honourable Daniel's concern about time. I mean, there will, if indeed the Air Force do appear before this committee next week, there are a range of issues that need to be dealt with, and 2 hours will not be sufficient. Perhaps the way to get around that is to spend 2 hours with the SAF in the morning, and then to devote the rest of Thursday afternoon to the same hearing.
If there's a sitting, what do we do?
My suggestion is we would apply for relief and that we not attend that sitting.
I just think it must be understood, or we have got the whole day for Friday, and having to go there and ask for an extension or to attend plenary, that wouldn't work out. Nobody would ever agree to that, because a working day is a Friday and you have got the whole day. Unless if we agree in here and we put our signatures down, or I will be there on a Friday and then we check how many people will be there. Honorable.
Sure. Sometimes the program of sitting, it entails what we call three-line wing, which if we say we will ask relief, it won't succeed. I think we have to check it properly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Just to say that for NCOP, we will not be able to attend because on the 8th, for the 3rd line, the Deputy President is that side of the House. My suggestion would be, as much as I agree with the Chairperson, that the Friday, the whole day, the working day, but there are issues of people who must go home and they are collecting in small provinces. If you lose a flight at 3 o'clock, there's no more flights. So I would suggest that maybe we look into the Thursday, Wednesday afternoon, and finish up Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, if it is possible. Thanks, sir.
Honorable Chair, you are to follow.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it is true that the Friday would be a little bit dicey for now. Let's not talk about Friday, comrades. Let's leave it. Let's shelve it. Let's see what we can do with the Thursday and how far we can be able to stretch it. So Once we call the Air Force to come and make a presentation, and the Secretary of Defense to come and make a presentation, both of them, the Chief of the Air Force and the SecDef, they can take 3 hours in their presentation. I mean, one and a half hours in their presentation. And the other 1.5 hours, we can be able to spend fruitfully in interrogating their input. So I don't think it will be the question of setting out the whole day as if this is a public hearing. I think we'll be able, within the confines of a 3.5 hour, to get all the information that we want. The problem is we always end at 10 in order to rush to the caucuses. Now, all of us have to be able to give an apology to our principals with respect to the late coming of members to caucus. Then we can be able to do justice to this particular issue. Thank you, Chan.
Thank you very much. I should think we mustn't belabor this. This is an administrative issue, but we agree that we need to call the Air Force. Then the nitty-gritties will be dealt with, and as long as we agree in principle that will happen. We have got the 16th to the 18th Joint Strategic Planning Workshop. On this issue, the PC is having a strategic planning workshop during this time. The suggestion was that because almost 90% of the members of this committee are members of those that are in the NA, are in the PC, and the PC is having a strategic planning workshop from the 16th to the 18th. The suggestion was that we have a joint strategic planning workshop on those dates, meaning that already maybe they've got their program for the workshop. Then we need to look into the workshop and add those other items that would specifically be affecting the Joint Standing Committee on Defense. That is the item there. Anything on that item? Can we then get to, that was January to March, can we then get to April to June? The suggestion there is provincial oversight visit to bases. Can we get into bases? The suggestion was that we deal with the Air Force. Can we come up with suggestion on the basis and what we actually are going to be looking into? Honorable Daniels?
Provincial.
Honorable Mania, recognize.
Chair, if you are saying efforts, I would very much want to know, what do we have in Woodspring? Don't we have a major effort base in Woodspring? What is there? What are we doing? If we're having nothing in Woodspring, Makado, what do we have there? Those are the two bases that I can think of in the office.
Okay. I'm not very sure. The wood sprayed airbase seemingly is not functioning anymore. I don't know. Subject to correction. That's why the runway has been changed into a civilian, whatever you should think. I'm not sure about that. But let's have all those things, those suggestions, and get. I will go along with your suggestion that if it's Air Force, then we distribute this committee into three or four, so that we touch all of those bases. How many do we have? Or maybe we touch one in each province, if we do have one in each province. So it's agreed. Can somebody advise here, or how do we approach this slot? Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson. The basis that we have listed since the presentation of the Chief of the Navy in the past, and also the problems that we have picked up about the methods of transformation in the basis, we have identified so far. I think it's six bases. So if we divide into two groups, we can be able to have one group attending to three bases, and then the other group attending to another three bases. Because the ones that have been cited so far is Babcock, Air Force, and Air Force Devon. And then Langebaan, Zerg, Makado, Waterkloof, and Littleton. So if members have got other bases which are problematic in terms of all those issues that we picked up during the presentation of the Chief of the Navy, members are at liberty to add those bases. But for now, these are the bases that we've picked up. Thank you, Chairperson.
There are six bases. Honorable Manier, and then you follow.
Chair, I would I support again your objective of visiting military bases of the South African Air Force. I would suggest that we look at capabilities and visit and structure our visit according to capabilities. In other words, I think it's important that we visit the air combat capability bases, which would be Makada. That's what the Honorable Daniels is concerned about. Then I think in the light of the debate about transport aircraft and acquisition of transport aircraft, that we should visit the transport capability. I'm not exactly sure where they're based, but I think at Waterkloof. Then I think we should visit the VIP squadron capability, which is at Waterkloof. And then I think we should visit the flying school, I think we should visit those, if you like, four bases. And I think that there's a compelling reason in each case to visit. In respect of the air combat capability, there is a concern about the combat readiness of the Gripens. In respect of the transport, there's a concern about the airworthiness of the Hercules transport fleet, Squadron 21, a whole range of questions involving safety, and then the flying school is really about the recruitment and retention of new pilots. I think there's a compelling reason in each case, and we as a committee as a whole should try to cover all four of those bases.
Okay, I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
No, sir.
I
agree, sir, partly covered, but just to say that it means it will only be, because during that week, the NCP will be having another program, the provincial week. So, it's not a good thing. No, Chair, I'm saying I'll have to look at it because the last time I checked, the NCP would not be available that week. Yeah. The provincial week. So members of the NCP will be expected to be at their provinces for that week. So we're not saying the program should not continue, but just to say for logistical arrangements, you're dividing into two groups or one group or whatever. That should be taken calculations of.
Secretary, is there any alterations that can be made? Is it possible? Let's look into that then. Chairperson?
Thank you, Chairperson. The honorable member is correct that it will be a provincial week. So usually provincial week differs from taking parliament to the people. When you take parliament to the people, it means it's like a three-line whip within the NCOP. Everybody has to attend. But with respect to provincial week, it is part of oversight work. So given those circumstances, it is possible for presiding officers to view it in the context of oversight in provinces, because we will be going to provinces but playing oversight over specific entities. And they would request a report immediately after those provincial visits in the basis of the Navy. So that is the way in which we can be able to approach it to the presiding officer.
Honorable Mapeza, I hope I pronounced
I think we agreed that we split into groups. So to me, if the NCOP, that's what I'm just, it's in my mind. If they are not available, let's say now the available group will go for oversight. Because at the end of the day, our object and mission is to do oversight to the basis. Thank you, Chairperson.
I understand that, but as the chairperson has just said, we might meet wherever we are in those provinces and steal them for those hours that we'll be going to the base and whatever. But as he said, there's light beyond the tunnel. So the logistics will be dealt with to see how we can slot in some of those things. Let's get to the 26th of April. Can somebody take me through that? The suggestion that we have a briefing. Oh.
Chair, on this issue of visiting the effort bases, I'm not in disagreeing with the combat readiness of the certain outfits of these four Air Force bases that were mentioned. All I'm saying is that we do not only visit the bases or go do oversight only when there is a problem. It is also our mandate and the responsibility for us to make sure that we keep up the morale of these serving members of the SANDF. And therefore, we will not go only to bases when there is a problem. When there is no problem, we still need to go there and make sure that those bases, they remain with no problems. So I am suggesting that if we set six, those two groups must then make sure that we go to all those six, not only four. That is, if we have enough space, time to be able to visit all of those. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Daniel. My understanding is that Honorable Manier just go on circles whenever he's trying to explain something. Whatever he said here are the questions that he will ask when we are there. So he didn't even need to mention them to us. He will ask those questions when we are doing oversight. So it's neither here nor there. So that will be dealt with in that manner. Honorable
Maile. Chairperson, I don't want to make this an issue, but I must just say that from the WIPARI point of view and how we have operated in the NCOP, so that for logistical arrangements, I'm still insisting that most of the members of the NCOP would not be available in that week. And I'm not saying the program is not continuing, but I'm just saying that from the WIPARI point of view, we are very strict about people being their provinces during the provincial week as part of our institutional program. So that, if you attend and NCOP is four, you must know that the four or three of them will not be there. For instance, as a provincial member of the NCOP, I can't say I'm not going to my province because I'm a friend and a visit to the forces. And we are very few in the NCOP for starters. You will find that it's only five or six members. So if two or three members are not there, and we still expected to divide ourselves when we get to provinces, so it would not be possible. The NCOP delegates won't be there, but the program can continue. But that should be taken consideration from the far point of view. We are very strict about that program of the provincial week. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think that is noted. April 26, briefing by state law advisors on the constitutional responsibility of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense with respect to the defense review in relation to the mandate of the committee. Can somebody take me through that one, Chairperson?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, we remember that defense review documents have been circulated to members, which means that we have to acquaint ourselves with what has been the shape, the size, and the posture of the South African National Defense Force in the past review, which deals with the integration and the transformation that has to take place within the forces. Now, the defense review, the defense review committee, which is being led by Rolf Meyer, is moving across in order to bring about an improvement with respect to and an update of the old review. So the meeting we might have to have probably with the state law advisor is for him firstly or her to appraise us in terms of what the Constitution requires of us. And then secondly, that members of the defense, of joint defense, should prepare themselves to play their role as and when we meet with the committee of Rolf Meyer, Honorable Ruth Meyer and Honorable Tony Engene and the others. So at the point when we meet, they will be making a presentation to us. And then we, as members from Joint, will be expected to make a contribution. Because we don't have to say in future, we didn't know that you are going to cut the South African National Force from 170 to 50,000. We didn't know that you are going to cut the Navy from 10,000 to 5,000. So all those are pertinent issues that we have to pick up. The type of weaponry which have to be used, the intake that has to take place in terms of education and all the transformation process that has to take place. So it is the entire review of the South African National Defense Force from 2012 up to probably 2050 or 20 whatever. So it's within the ambit of the members now of the Joint to be able to play that role. So state law advisors will be able to assist with respect to the responsibility that Joint should play. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I think then what it means is that the state law advisors must have what do they call that? They must know exactly what we want to know. So I think that is fine. Can I make a suggestion? Would it be wrong if we sit here now and look into the future and pick on one or two Fridays and say, on this Friday we are going to have this workshop with whoever. I see here there's workshop with Defense Review Committee. Is it not possible to say in July or in September, this date, it's a Friday, we are going to have this and that, so that everybody knows it from now. And if we pick on only two Fridays, we can do a lot of work, whereby everybody knows that the whole of that Friday, we will all be here. We're not coming for a meeting as like this one, but at least we know that on that Friday, all of us will be there. You know, 2 or 3 months in advance. Is it not possible to do such a thing? It's a suggestion. Honorable Mane?
Chair, it's a very good suggestion. Of course it's possible, and I think that we ought to do it because the defense review is a major undertaking, and it may even require more than two Fridays.
There's no opposition to that. So it's noted. We must pick on one or two Fridays into the future. Thank you. We have already dealt with the workshop with the defense review, meaning that the state law advisors will explain all. Can't we even, in the meantime, let our researcher be looking into that? Then we will have the state law advisors before the workshop, because we can't simply get in there and start saying no, increase the intake to 2,000 if we don't know what our mandate in relation to the review committee is. Honorable Mani, by the way, we have 10 minutes left.
Chair, just on the briefing on the constitutional responsibilities, why would we use the state law advisor as opposed to the parliamentary law advisor? My suggestion is that we possibly take a view from both.
Agreed. We take it from both. Noted. The the research team can do, they can do their research now and distribute whatever they have, and just to give us an idea, because for now I'm very blank when it comes to that. 10 May, well, we don't, 17, 24, let's see, 24, oh no, let's go to 14 to the 15th, public hearing to investigate how far the report of JSC on defense passed in 2000 on the improvement of life of military. Can somebody take us through here? Or what is the public hearing? And, oh, can I just finish on this one?
No, okay. The 24th.
I thought that's why I jumped to the 14th to the 15th, because a public hearing is...
No, Chair.
Are they not the same?
No. 24th, it says discussion on preparation of public hearings and evaluation of submission in relation to the mandate of the committee.
Okay. That will be the second page of April to June. So the public hearings, they are not related. Is that what you are saying?
I gather.
Or the way it is, it should have been public hearings before. It should have been public hearings before that, because the discussions of the public hearings, it means the public hearings on the 14th to the 15th must come first.
No, Chair.
Okay, let me just give you the floor then.
Chair, look on the 24th of May. You are on the 14th and the 15th of June. I'm talking about the 24th of May. I wanted to get a sense because the objective there says in relation to the mandate of the committee. Now, is this connected with what the state law advisors and every other thing that will be briefed on in terms of the defense review in relation to the mandate of the committee? That's what I want to understand.
Honorable Manier, Honorable Chair to follow. Don't forget we have 10 minutes.
In respect of the hearings from the 17th to the 21st, I have absolutely no idea what this means, and I'd be very interested in who drafted it up. I can't understand why it is we would need public hearings on the mandate of this committee. It makes no sense whatsoever.
As I said, these are suggestions can we get somebody to take us through? Then suggestions come from different people. Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Manir, can I start on the 17th May? Are we on the same page? Yeah, the 17th May relates to the oversight report. When you come back from the bases, you shall have visited all the six bases. So you'll be discussing the report from the bases. And then you might have to adopt it on the same day or adopt it on some other day. And then 24 May, it's a discussions on the preparations of the public hearings and the evaluations of submissions. Now, if you call for public hearings as stated on the 14th and the 15th of June 2012 about the issue of the improvement of life of military veterans, now, you are saying, in essence, in 2006, you called for a public hearing. and then you adopted certain resolutions. And then that report was debated in Parliament 2006. Now, from that time onwards, okay, and resolutions elsewhere. Now, that time onwards to this day, you are reviewing the work that has been done with respect to the provision of, one, houses for military veterans, two, health provisions for military veterans, three, transport for disabled and so on, military veterans. Then four, special pension. Because Treasury that time, in 2006, 2007, was saying the amount of money that was given to members of the military veterans when they were demobilized, it was sufficient. Now, all that has to be looked in all contexts. So you are calling all the stakeholders to come. But before they come, they make submissions. So on this particular day of the 24th, what the honorable members will be doing is to look at all the submissions which have been made by SAMPA and the structures of military veterans and Treasury and everybody. Then you begin to draw a program on who you call first and so on and so on. So that by the time you meet on the day of the 14th and the 15th, you are able to place yourself and then you call them and so on. So it's a preparatory stage of the public hearings, the 24th of May, after you receive all the submissions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I should think the question here is the structuring of this thing. Do you call it a public hearing? Are you going to advertise for? I should think the question is along those lines. Honorable Maine.
Thank you very much, Comrade. Honorable Chairperson. Sir, I think the explanation of the chair suffice, but the only problem of the honorable member might have been the sentence or the thing that put here in relation to the mandate of the committee. And, because his view was then that we are calling a hearing, public hearing on the mandate of the committee. But after the chairperson has explained, I think it suffices and it makes a lot of sense and we should leave it at that.
Thank you very much. It will be very interesting if, well, my little knowledge is that public hearings are only for bills and so on. If this can happen, that will be Or do I need to open it up? I mean, if we're going to call human settlement and we call health and we call everyone else, or must I open it up? Military veterans department. Or let me just say, or what is the procedure? Is the procedure for us to call all of them or to say military veterans department report on this? Can somebody take me through that?
To try to clarify this question of public hearing. Now, because in public hearing, as you are saying, usually it's called when there's a bill, we call a number of but this one, I don't think it's a public hearing, it's a briefing. We call a briefing by a certain structure. Because if you say public hearing, it means we have to apply and to advertise on the media that one thing to come. It's a briefing that you, as we call a department, the department must come for a briefing. Understand? We call the airport, the Air Force, to come and make a briefing on a certain thing.
In principle, we agree that that must happen. The question might be, what is the procedure? We've got a Department of Military Veterans whose duty is to do all these things, maybe even to collect all that information and come and present it to us. But still, we've got a right, if we think it's important, to call the Department of Health or Human Settlement. So I'm saying somebody must take me through this. The concept is right. Whatever it's called, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if it's advertised or not, as long as those people will come here. But what is the procedure if somebody was to take me through? Honorable Daniel?
I would like to make a suggestion that before we undertake to do whatever will be called, that we call the Department of Military Veterans to first give us a briefing, because in the PC, when we're having public hearings and everything, all those departments presented in the PC as to how, whether their budgets and everything, and how they are going to deal with issues of military veterans. Maybe perhaps the Department of Military Veterans will take us through as to how far is the process of dealing with all the issues of military veterans. Because the department now is sitting with the legislation or an act of Military Veterans Act 2011, I think, which was enacted in December last year, so that we know what we're dealing with before we call whatever it is that we're calling. Because if we are going to be taking submissions and calling public hearings without necessarily giving this department that is mandated to deal with these issues, before we do oversight on it, for it to take us through as to whether they have started the process of dealing or delivering to military veterans. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sir. I'm speaking the last time on this particular item. Yeah, you know, Chairperson, now we're getting confused, because we are addressing the 24th May 2012, which the chairperson clarified, and I think the Honorable Manier, after that explanation was also clarified. Now, I think now what members have been dealing with is the nitty-gritties of the public hearings itself, what you want to do. Now, because of time constraints, chairperson, but members have made their input. So the chairperson can then take, say, what is that? Who are we going to call on the 14th and 15th of May? But the 24th is closed, so that you should not be confused.
I seem to like Honorable Maine. You were recognized, Honorable, 1 minute.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to put on record that I've found this process very frustrating. I think this is the wrong process in trying to draw up a program. The right process would be for us to set aside a meeting, look carefully at the functions of this committee, identify the interests of the various parties, because the parties have different interests, and then structure a program so that we can meet not only the obligations of the committee, but the interests of the various political parties, and then take the program forward. That is the way to do it.
Okay. I should think that is exactly what we did at the beginning. We said everybody must come up with suggestions. I wonder what is the difference between what we said and the process now. We said everybody must come up with suggestions. That's why when going through the program or the suggested program, I sometimes say, can somebody take us through this item? Because it means these items come from different people and different parties. That is what I think is the case. That's why I don't even know some of these things. Well, as I know my friend, Honorable Mane, before any meeting can adjourn, he must put something on record. And I think that is on record then. I should think Chairperson will be the last one and only half a minute.
Honorable members, firstly, the issue of public hearings is neither here or there. Any committee has the prerogative to call for public hearings. Not only on matters of legislation, but on matters of concern to the public out there. I think by now we know what the situation of military veterans is out there, without us deliberating a lot about it. But the rules also state with respect to public hearings. And once you make public hearings, it means that particular report has to be submitted to Parliament. Not like a workshop. A workshop is an internal thing. So whether you submit it, you can submit it as part of your annual report. But a public hearing, it means it's an issue that affects the society out there. Hence, you advertise, you do all sorts of things. But now, the issue that I wanted to talk about, Chairperson, is with respect to the objective of this particular one, because you are reviewing in calling these people the 2006 up to the 2012. The ministry come with the legislation in 2011. So the ministry is addressing quite a number of things. Now, with respect to all the problems that have been there from the period 2006 to 2012. Now, we are calling this particular, this particular hearing in order for military hospital to say, no, we have opened our doors now to military veterans, and these are the rules, you know. And the Department of Military Veterans, yeah, we have been able to accommodate 1, 2, 3 in the legislation. And then housing and so on and so on. Transport, for instance, for those military veterans who are disabled, nobody's saying anything about it. So the Minister of Military Veterans has said, in fact, immediately after this public hearing, he would expect recommendations to come. Those recommendations would be put in the regulations of the legislation on military veterans. So the process, therefore, it supplements the effort of the ministry in reviewing the period that has passed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I'm defending Honorable Mani. He still has got to walk across, and he will be late for the caucus. Before I close, I would like us to look into this very carefully, because it might be taken to be the committee saying or proposing a motion of no confidence on the Department of Military and Veterans, military veterans, because that is supposed to be their duty to collect all that information that we need from human settlement, from whoever. I'm not very sure it's open for debate, but I'm saying we must be very careful. We might be jumping our mandate if we... No, it's within our mandate. We can call anybody as we want, but it might not be... might not sound correctly, because otherwise, what do they do? They need to tell us. Or I was just saying that we look at it carefully before we do it, and I think you are protected, Honorable Mania, and this meeting stand adjourned. Yeah, sure.